This morning in the lesson, we attempted to unravel the mystery of how there could possibly be joy in trials, temptations, afflictions, based on the text of James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And we covered a lot of ground. We looked at a lot of different aspects of that, especially from the standpoint of the trying or testing of our faith and what that does for us, spiritually speaking, how that all of those things working together give us the assurance that God is on our side, that God knows what we endure and what we suffer, and that God helps us with all of our infirmities. Therefore, there is a sense of peaceful satisfaction in our hearts with God's way of blessing us, even in our troubles. Tonight, I want us to stay with that text and go just a little bit deeper, and I want to call this study the full effect of endurance, because that's what James says in verse 4. I want us to read verses 2 through 4 again as we get ready to unpack some of these things. Read to you from the English Standard Version, which has become one of my favorites over the past few years. I will be borrowing those, some of the other translations. I'll try to remember to identify those as I share certain things with you from the various translations, particularly individual words that may be rendered in a little bit different way in from one translation to the next. And hopefully we'll be able to see that there is unity in all of those and faithfulness to the concept that's being presented by the Holy Spirit through the pen of James and the other writers. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Steadfastness is what we want to think about tonight. The English, New American Standard Version renders that endurance. King James Version, if you're reading that, you'll see that it's rendered patience. Patience, steadfastness, endurance. James says, let endurance have its full effect. It's complete work. And so I'd like for us to see what may be the full effect of endurance. Now, before we get exactly into that particular thing in verse 4, there are a couple of things left over from this morning that I'd like to share with you a little bit further, going in a little bit more detail, two or three terms. The first one is the first word there in the instruction of verse 2, count. Count it all joy, my brothers. This is a financial term. That kind of makes sense to us because that's what counting is about to us today. But it doesn't always mean that. But in the scriptures, as this word is used, it's a financial term, and it has to do with giving something its proper value or evaluating something. Now, if you've read the book of Philippians, and I dare say that all of us in here have many times, this is a familiar term to us in Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul uses it three times. Turn with me over there to Philippians chapter 3. A very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, for whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Same term. Financial term. Having to do with evaluating something or giving something its proper value or putting it into the place that it belongs because of its value. It's pretty easy to see that's what Paul is talking about. Here in Philippians chapter 3, he's talking about something that is of little value. He said, whatever was gained to me, I counted it, I evaluated it as being worthless for the sake of Christ. He's talking about all of the things that he's accomplished in his past life, those things that men would praise him for, those things that people would try to give him credit for, those things that built up the recognition of him as Paul the Pharisee. Whatever those things were that I gained in my life before Jesus, he says, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. He goes further in verse 8. He says, indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, garbage. The King James Version uses the word dung, D-U-N-G. Paul says, looking at the importance of Jesus Christ, everything that I have been able to accomplish as a man, so far as worldly things, I've put them over there in the column that says worthless. Because they're not the kind of things that further the cause of Christ. They're not the kind of things that make me spiritually stronger. They're not the kind of things that I need to count on now in order to accomplish the Lord's will. Therefore, he says, on the ledger sheet, I've put them in the column that says worthless. Now back to James chapter 2, James is using the word in the same way except pointed in the opposite direction. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. In other words, consider these things as being very important, very worthwhile, very worth going through because of the kind of effects that they have on us, spiritually speaking. Here's where we run into the biggest problem. So often we find ourselves, maybe not even on purpose, maybe accidentally wouldn't be the proper way to describe it. Maybe incidentally might be the better way to say that we sometimes put the wrong emphasis on things because we're focused on earthly. And God says if we'll focus on heavenly or worldly versus spiritual, we'll see that there is value that will come to us through these trials, these temptations, these afflictions. If we're seeking nothing but comfort instead of character, trials are going to seem like the worst things we've ever seen. If we're focusing on worldly more than spiritual, then hardship and affliction is going to seem to us to be an unfair load or burden that we're having to bear. But if we can count those afflictions and trials and temptations, evaluate them for the real value that they hold for us, as difficult as they may be to experience physically and emotionally, knowing that they strengthen our faith if we come through them with God's help, then we can put those in the column of very worthwhile. We can count them as that which is good for us. Not happy, not pleasant, not enjoyable, but good for us because of the spiritual strengthening that they afford us. And so it's all about our value system. It's not all about our value system, but so much of it is about our value system. How we evaluate things. Do we evaluate things with the here and the now as the only thing in mind, or do we evaluate things in terms of their long effect on us, spiritually speaking? I've gone through some things, and you have too, that we may have been tempted to even use the word tragedy to describe. That's a relative term. One man's tragedy is another fellow's bump in the road, you might say. But again, the responsibility is on us to properly evaluate those things. And as difficult as they may seem to be, we need to put them in the column of worthwhile, of joy. Not excited happiness, but joy from the standpoint of the satisfaction of spirit based on what we know about God's help and the results of earthly hardship. Count. The next word I want us to go a little bit further on is the word trials. Trials. The English Standard Version renders it trials. The King James Version says temptations. New American Standard says trials. Here's the interesting thing. There is really only one word in the original Greek that is rendered in the New Testament trials. Temptations, depending on the context and how it's used. But it's a word that at its very root means literally adversity. Now, you and I know that some of our adversity is even self-created, but a lot of the adversity that we're most familiar with and comfortable talking about is the adversity that comes into our lives as Christians because of sin and sinfulness and the devil's temptations and so forth. And so all of these things fit into the category of the trials and the temptations that James says are good for us if we approach them with the right attitude and with the right help. The text says, when you meet. One translation says, when you fall into. You know, that almost gives the impression of stupidly blundering about and you fall into something. That's not what it's saying. That's not what it means at all. We meet these things. And it's not if you meet these things, it's when you meet these. When you meet trials of various kinds, when you fall into all of these challenges, all of these things that are brought about by the adversity between righteousness and sin, or the adversity of sin against righteousness. And he says there are all kinds of them. Various kinds, the English Standard Version says. Divers temptations, King James Version. The word divers, this is a good illustration of a 1600s English word that no longer is used in the same way today. Divers in 1611, when the King James translation didn't mean a guy who swims around underwater and does things down there under the depths of the sea, but it's a word which means different, all kinds. It's the same word that the Hebrew writer used to describe the various ways and manners that God had used through the times to communicate with his people. Divers, many, different, various kinds. There are the afflictions and the trials and the temptations that come to us because of our own doing. There are those that come to us because of the conduct of others around us. And then there are those that come to us simply because the devil is out to get us, and he's going to use every opportunity he can to challenge us and cause us to begin to doubt or to waver or to murmur against God. The trials. My clicker is unresponsive. Patience. I've already touched on this a little bit right at the very beginning. The word patience in the King James translation, steadfastness in the English Standard Version. I've chosen for the title of our lesson, endurance, which is the word that's used in the New American Standard translation. But patience, steadfastness, and endurance. Three words for the same thing. Patience is not just calmly and quietly accepting something that comes along. That's not everything that patience is. Steadfastness is not just being regular. Endurance is not just bearing up over and over again. All three of those words share all of those characteristics. So the patience or the steadfastness or the endurance. Again, this comes from Romans chapter 5, the passage we looked at this morning. A good companion to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Turn over there, if you will, and let's read that and see how similar this instruction is here in Romans chapter 5 to the instruction that James gives in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Beginning in verse 3, Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Well, there it is again. There's that subject matter that is so puzzling sometimes, it seems. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This patience, steadfastness, endurance is produced by the testing of our faith. As we go through the sufferings which themselves are a testing of our faith, Paul even says in Romans 3 that the suffering produces endurance. The word produces is here in James chapter 1, verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance. So that's a set fact. That's something that we need, that's something we can, as we say sometimes, hang our hat on. That's something we can count on. Sufferings produce endurance. And we know what produce means. If something is produced by something, that means it's the result of it. It comes out at the end. It's there when the first is done. The suffering produces endurance or steadfastness or patience. And now, let endurance or steadfastness have its full effect. What do you suppose would be the full effect of endurance? Let endurance have its full effect. Let me suggest a few things. First of all, I would suggest that endurance, the endurance, now you know we're not talking about the kind of endurance that comes as a result of getting up at 4:30 every morning and getting on your bicycle and riding all over the streets and roads around your house and then coming back and taking a shower and going to work. That'll build endurance, but that's not the kind of endurance we're talking about here. We're talking about the spiritual endurance. Endurance produces, that one of the effects, one, a part of the full effect of endurance is that it makes us useful. It makes us useful. The phrase useful to every good work is in the text. Remember how Paul described as he wrote to Philemon about Onesimus? Onesimus, whose very name itself means useful. And Paul says he will now be useful to you, though before he was not useful to you because he evidently stole something and ran away. But now I'm sending him back because he's a child of God. And he now will be useful to you. I wonder how much thought we give to being useful. Useful to the Lord. One of the ways that we're useful to the Lord is to be useful to one another. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and you'll be one chapter too far. Back up to chapter 2. Sorry. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. This verse always sticks in my mind. Obviously, the chapter didn't stick in my mind, but the verse always sticks in my mind because in the King James translation, it's one of the two or three verses in the whole New Testament that use the word succor. Not succor like a lollipop, not succor like a ready-made victim, but succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Again, another old English word that we don't use anymore, and it means literally aid, New King James, help, English Standard, come to the aid of, New American Standard. Verse 18, talking about Christ. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help, succor, aid those who are being tempted. Have you been tempted? Have you been tried? Have you been tested? Have you gone through the mill of affliction? Yes, we all have, to some degree or another. In that regard, we are more qualified to help those who are facing similar difficulties, problems, situations. If you've lost your mate, your lifelong companion, you are far more qualified to comfort and encourage someone else who has just gone through that same experience. If you have experienced, you name it, physical illness of a major degree, some kind of horrible disease that you've been cured from, you stand in a position of being better able to help someone who's facing that same kind of issue themselves. By the way, did you notice it says in verse 18 of Hebrews 2, because he himself has suffered when tempted? You remember in another place, the Hebrew writer talks about Jesus, chapter 12, I believe it was, where he said, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated now at the right hand of God. The joy that was set before him. It was the joy of suffering because of what that suffering would produce. That suffering of Jesus would produce salvation for you and me. And that was a joyful thing to Jesus. The suffering that we go through on this earth has the ability to make us stronger and better spiritually. Therefore, there is joy in that suffering. Not giddy, excited happiness, no. But joy. It makes us useful. It also makes us cautious and humble. Endurance. The person who has been tested and who has come through the afflictions and the tests, the temptations, is no longer quite as vocal about what he or she has done, where he or she has been. Not quite as quick to talk about all of their accomplishments if they've come through the afflictions with joy. They are a little bit more gentle. Not only that, but endurance also makes us hopeful. The full effect of endurance will turn us into the kind of people who can be encouraging to those who may be fearful. For those who are afraid that the storm is going to take the ship down, we should be the kind of people who can assure them that we've seen storms even this big and bigger, and they didn't take the ship down. The full effect of endurance is to be more grateful. To be more grateful. Spurgeon, in some of his writings, referred to the old minister who sat down one evening for the meal with his family, and the only thing that could be found to put on the table was one small fish and three little potatoes. And he bowed his head and he said, O Lord, we thank thee that thou hast scoured the depths of the sea and the earth itself to provide this food for us. Have you noticed that those who are more grateful can usually get by on less than the others. Because in our abundance, we sometimes get the idea and act as though we believe that there never is enough, because we always want more and more. The full effect of endurance that comes through the suffering of trials, and tests, and afflictions is to be more grateful and to be unworldly. Unworldly. To be the kind of people who say, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. Or to put it another way, those who have come to the conclusion that there are far too many thorns in this forest for me to make my nest here. Unworldly. And then the last thing on my list, spiritual. Part of the full effect of endurance is to be more spiritual. For this point, I want to borrow that term from another place in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. You who are spiritual, that word is not without significant meaning. It has to do with those who help and teach and encourage and lead God's people. Not in any official capacity, but in the capacity of a child of God to be spiritual. So we all need to ask ourselves. We need to evaluate ourselves. Would I be counted as spiritual? As one who is spiritual? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete. Actually, those two terms are synonymous. They mean the same thing. Not perfect in the sense of faultless or sinless, but perfect in the sense of being complete, which is exactly what God asks of each one of us. Complete. I appreciate Tom's class Wednesday night and for the reminder of this on this subject that kind of got my wheels to turning. And you may wish he'd never brought it up, but I'm thankful that he did, because it's helped me to be reminded of some things that, really, quite frankly, I need to work on. Especially some of those things, those effects of endurance. If you're not a child of God, why not obey the gospel? Become a Christian. You can do that this very night. You believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of your sins, confess your faith, willing to be baptized into Christ in water for the remission of your sins. That can be accomplished here within the next few minutes. If you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, you can come back if you're so a mind, because God is always anxious for you to return. And that too can be accomplished very easily compared to the difficulty attached to some of the things that we subject ourselves to in this life. Obeying God and honoring Him with our lives is a fairly simple and straightforward process, as long as we don't allow this world and the God of this world to distract us. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.